Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. But does Jesus love just the children of the world? And is His love just a children's song? It is that, but is it only that? In this scripture that we're going to be looking at today as part of our I Am series in John chapter 10, we're going to see that Jesus is defining His love for us in two very completely different ways by how He describes Himself. We need both of those ways to receive that love that He has for us. And so we want to focus on that for a few moments. Now we have to understand that the way Jesus is describing His love is not a way that we would normally relate to, because Jesus is talking in terms of sheep and shepherds and that which the people of Israel would be very familiar with. And so we may have to go into a little bit of background and a little bit of explanation. But the first way that Jesus describes Himself as the Good Shepherd, first way that He shows how He loves us, is that the Good Shepherd leads out or cares for His sheep. Now, these words referred to how the sheep were kept at night during the winter time. Earlier we saw when Jesus said, "I am the gate of the sheep." That referred more to the sheep during the spring and the summer and the fall, when they would be actually in the fields and the shepherd would build that enclosure, then that He would be the gate. He would lay His body in that opening so that any enemies of the sheep would literally have to go in and out through Him. But during the winter months, when it was colder, that's when the sheep would be brought down off of the hills and the mountains. They would be brought closer to the cities, and there would be permanent sheepfolds that had been built. And there would be a professional sheepkeeper, shepherd, that everybody would hire, and the shepherds would get a chance to maybe enjoy a night in bed and a warm meal for a few months. But they still had their flock to care for. So each morning, that shepherd would go to that large, we're going to call it sheep hotel, to the large hotel, and he would call out his sheep by name. But you've got many different shepherds calling at the same time. And these sheep are coming out the entrance, and they're instinctively going to the one shepherd that has cared for them. It's a really intriguing scene. And it speaks well, because the shepherd loved his sheep so much. He had spent so much time with them during the spring and the summer and the fall that they knew his name. They instinctively went to him. But at that point, what we don't realize that Jesus is trying to tell us when he says he calls out his own sheep and he by name and he leads them out. This speaks to the very intimate, personal time that the shepherd would spend with each sheep at that time. Because what we have to understand is that sheep hotel was one large enclosure. And you would have hundreds of sheep in it. If it would rain, the sheep would just turn that ground into mud. They would track in all of the debris that they had brought the rest of the day, the rest of the previous day into it. I'm not trying to be gross by what I say next, but if you've had animals, you know that animals poop during the night. Okay? Well, all these sheep would poop during the night. And they would lay down and they would sleep in, you know what? And so they would have flies and the smell was horrific. And so as each shepherd would call out his sheep, he would also use his rod and his staff. At that point, he would capture the sheep, so to speak, with the rod. And then he would begin to comb out the wool, and he would begin to clean out all the dung and all the debris and all everything which would bother the sheep for the rest of the day before he allowed the sheep to go out into the fields, so to speak, before he allowed them to go out and do their normal routine. He would spend that very intimate time cleaning them up and getting them ready for the day. Now, how does that apply to you and I? Well, you and I, it's easy to get in a rut. Would you say that's pretty true for most of us? We tend to watch the same things. We tend to do the same things. We tend to get in that rut of our lives. And sometimes it's easy to let the debris of our society just cling to us. If we watch a lot of TV or play a lot of video games or even a lot of the books we read or the music we listen to, it's easy for that to influence our lives. That's kind of like the poop that we allow ourselves to live in and we allow our mind to be dragged down to. But Jesus doesn't want us to live that way. He doesn't want us to simply be saved and then experience life such a mediocre way. And so one of the things that Jesus as our shepherd does is that he says that he also wants to call us out by name. He also wants to lead us. But in order for him to do so in the way that's best for us, there are times when he just has to pull us to the side, he has to stop us, and then spend that time with us, clean us up from the inside out. Focus our thoughts on him and his on ours. He wants to show his love to us by having some very personal time with you and I. Now, the sheep didn't have much of a choice because the shepherd had that crook and he had the rod and he was holding them right there. Jesus wants to clean our life up. But that's where we have a choice. We don't have to stop and spend time with the Savior. We don't have to stop, or as the Scripture says, be still and know that I am God. We don't have to be still, to choose to be still, and let the cleansing flood of the Word of God help us remember what's right and what's wrong and what's best for us and maybe not so best. We don't have to stop and spend some time in prayer thinking about all that God has done for us. But if we do take that time to stop, if we do take that time to be intimate with our Savior and let Him expose all of our dirt so that He can clean it up, so that He can run His hands and His fingers of love through our matted soil, that's when we're going to know how much Jesus truly loves us. Individually, one on one. It takes faith. It takes time. It takes you and I saying that we are going to make Jesus a priority. But when we do, we are going to discover that He loves us so much that He knows us by name and leads us on the paths of righteousness that are best for us. The second way that Jesus describes Himself in this passage as the Good Shepherd. Not only does a Good Shepherd lead His sheep out of the pasture, but Jesus said in verse 11, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. There was a difference, a distinction between a shepherd who the flock was his own and the professional shepherd. And that is the fact that the one who owned those sheep was willing to die for those sheep. Whereas that professional shepherd, if an enemy attacked, hey, that enemy is stronger than me. Sheep, go ahead. You get killed. I'm out of here. Well, Jesus went on to explain and put it this way. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. When he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. In both Old and New Testament Israel, the primary characteristic of one who is defined as a good shepherd was that he was willing to love his sheep even at the expense of his own life. And this was based on an Old Testament law from Exodus 22:13. Sheep were considered so important to the economy of Israel that the Mosaic law said that if a sheep was missing from the flock, the shepherd had to bring back the pieces of the sheep as evidence to verify that a wolf or lion had indeed killed that sheep, and that the false shepherd was not merely just ripping off the owner by putting some sheep aside. But think about what that meant for the shepherd. If a lion or a wolf has that sheep, he's not going to give that up very easily. We've got one dog that is very food possessive. And we had some grandchildren with us Friday and Saturday. And they wanted to, especially our grandson Mason, he wanted to take care of that dog. He wanted to feed the dog. He wanted to put the food down. And he wanted to be right there in, almost with his nose in the bowl when Jasmine ate her food. And he was surprised when Jasmine started growling at her. And we had to say, you better back away because she wants her food more than she wants you right now. And that's a domesticated dog. Can you imagine going to the lion, to the wolf that has just stolen and killed that sheep, is in the process of eating it and trying to get it away? That's the type of danger we're talking about. That's why in Amos chapter 3, verse 12, we find the story of a shepherd when a lion killed some of the flock. He went after the lion and he rescued two leg bones and a piece of the ear from the lion. Why did he do that? Because the sheep were important and his love for the flock was even more so. Jesus in the New Testament is the ultimate fulfillment of that good shepherd. He loved his sheep so much that he was willing to go into the lair of the enemy, lay down his life, and die a cruel and vicious death so that you and I could be rescued from our enemy. In essence, what Jesus did on the cross, he went into the enemy's territory. He took you and I back from the enemy. All those scattered, mutilated pieces, he presented them to God through his blood and said, God, make them whole again. And God restored us, as Ron talked earlier, through our baptism, through our acceptance of Jesus Christ. It's as if God puts us back together and says, here is the way you were meant to live in the first place. The disciples could not get over the fact that Jesus was willing to die for them. If you think about it politically, presidents, kings, those who are their servants are sacrificed for the king or the leader. Jesus wasn't that kind of leader. Jesus said, I will sacrifice myself for you. That's why the disciples wrote things like this. In the book of Revelation, John wrote, unto him who loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood. In Romans, Paul yet wrote, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's saying it with a sense of amazement. Guys, think about it. Christ died for us. Goes on to say, He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not with him freely give us all things? If we need any proof that God loves us and is going to take care of us, John's saying, just look at the cross. About this love, Peter wrote, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And not to be outdone, the author of the book of Hebrews wrote, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto God. The early followers who knew Jesus were amazed that he would lay down his life for them. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And as such, he could do no less. I think you and I should be just as amazed as those early disciples who knew Jesus, that Jesus would die for us. For a few moments, I want you to think back to some of the pretty bad mistakes each of us have made. Think of some of the people whose hearts we've broken because of our sins. Think about the lives that we have impacted because of the wrong and negative choices that we have made at times. Think about all the people that you and I have wounded and hurt and broken through our words and our actions. Think about all the cruel words that have come out of our mouth or the contempt of our spirit. And then maybe that begins to help us realize that as horrific as each of us can be because of our human nature, that someone steps up and says, I love you so much that I'm willing to die for every one of those mistakes so that you can stand before my Father and He will see you as faultless. Because he sees you covered in that robe of righteousness, that robe of red. I've said it before, but when we get to heaven, we will all be wearing white robes to cleanliness, to symbolize our cleanliness. But the book of Revelation says that there is one who will be wearing a red robe, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the good shepherd who laid down his life for us, who shed his blood. And every time we see Jesus in heaven, we'll see that red robe. And we'll look down and see our white robe. Jesus loves us is not just a children's song. Jesus loved us enough to reestablish that relationship with God for us. But he also loves us enough to call us forth every day and clean us up so that we can experience the abundant life that he has for us. Jesus loves us. This we know, for the Bible tells us so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are indeed the Good Shepherd. We thank you that you are the one who daily shows your love for us through the time that you are willing to spend with us. We thank you that we can come to you and see the cross and be reminded that your love is so much greater than we can fathom. Thank you for the reminder of your love. And may we go forth from this building in your love this week. We ask in your Son's name. Amen. Jesus loves us so much that he was willing to die for us. If you have not chosen to accept Jesus Christ and your Lord and Savior, in essence to say, I want to live for you, We offer you that opportunity this morning. Jeff's going to come forward and lead us in the invitation hymn. If you have that decision to accept Christ, to be part of this church, whatever that may be, please come during the singing of this song. Let's stand.